60,000 watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 14th of January, Anno Domini 2007. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
That was smooth.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. Whoa. We'll be bringing you news, views, stuff. Steve was in another studio trying to desperately find
headphones that work around
find
here.
A pair of headphones that work. And he just raced in time to say his name. We're very excited to actually see him awake and moving. Very nice.
Thank you.
We'll be getting to your calls in just a minute. You know the numbers. They were just announced. But in case you missed them, it's 222-1180 in the 585 area code. Outside of that, it's 800-295-1180. And, of course, Verizon Wireless customers, it's star 1180.
So these aren't too much better. I can hear you better next to me than I can in the headphones.
Well, does it?
It's cranked all
the
way.
Cranked. Okay, nice. Microsoft. We had Microsoft's monthly visitor this last Tuesday. They released high priority fixes for serious vulnerabilities in Outlook and Excel applications, but there were no patches in the January batch for known Microsoft Word flaws that are currently under attack. Microsoft released 4 bulletins with patches for a total of 10 vulnerabilities, most rated critical, but there's no sign of fixes for the known code execution Word bugs that have been exploited in zero-day attacks since December of 2006. Microsoft originally planned to ship 8 bulletins this month, but 4 were pulled at the 11th hour, suggesting there were problems with the quality of the updates. One of the bulletins that was withdrawn was slated to address Office flaws, but it's not clear if Word fixes were included. The company's security response team has officially confirmed that at least 3 undocumented Word vulnerabilities are being used in code execution attacks right now. The first confirmed Windows Vista flaw, a denial of service issue that was publicly released on an underground hacker site in Russia, also remains unpatched. The bulk of the January patches, 8 out of the 10, address holes in Excel and Outlook, the spreadsheet and email clients that ship as part of Microsoft's Office suite. So if you are one of the people who uses Microsoft Word, let me suggest that you stop. There are zero-day attacks that will be out there. 0 day means that the very day that they were announced, there were exploits out there for them that will remain unpatched for at least another month. A month. This might be an excellent time to look at OpenOffice at openoffice.org because there are known vulnerabilities in Word that are simply not being patched. The same is true of Vista, but of course, since the average user can't get a hold of Vista for another month anyway. Right. That's not as big a deal.
That's pretty interesting. The Vista's not even available to the general public yet, and they have exploits for it.
Well, it is out. It is available for businesses, yeah. And there were betas out.
Beta's
like
been
forever
out for a
ago.
Long time.
We've been testing Vista where I work, and we're finding an amazing amount of stuff that doesn't run on it.
The biggest thing, though, so far that I have seen is all. Windows Vista is Windows XP on steroids.
Well, just eye candy.
Yeah, they took most of the good stuff that they had promised us. I was really looking forward to.
And I mean, Vista will be a great product if you're getting into, like you say, you want the eye candy. You want to be able to create your own movies and do picture, rendering and everything.
Yeah,
you
should be able to do all that stuff anyway. The big difference is the eye candy. That's for the average user, that's the big difference.
And the other thing, that's going to be really bad, though, is they move things around again. Where things were in XP, they moved them somewhere else.
And most PCs are going to need major surgery to be able to run Vista, bigger hard drive, bigger graphics card, better processor maybe.
For you guys, this is great.
Well, and Apple's already got a cool commercial out, John Hodgman in a hospital gown. PC going in for major surgery.
No, it's really a pain in the butt. Yes, it's
literally
good for us in one aspect, but when these folks go and get these specials and they buy the computers, and it's Vista ready. And then they bring it in and say, oh, yeah, I want you to put Vista on it. And then you start telling them, well, you're going to need more memory. You're going to need a better video card. Well, they said it's Vista ready. Yeah, the processor can handle it, but the rest of the machine can't.
You want to run anything else at any decent speed?
Yeah. Right. So right. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yep. All right, let's get to the phones. Our first caller is Jamie in York, New York. Welcome, Jamie. What's your question?
Yes, good morning, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm wonderful. My son has a PSP, and I'm running Windows XP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Windows Media Player, which is, I believe, version 11, 10 or 11, will not recognize the device. And when I go into the device manager, it's giving me a code 10. I've tried updating the driver. And there's a yellow explanation point next to memory stick or Sony memory stick controller.
It's looking for the driver for that, then.
Yes, and if I uninstall that driver, how would I reinstall it?
For the PSP?
Yes, under memory stick controllers in a device manager.
Yeah.
Right, you'd have to find the driver download from Sony.
Yeah.
Did it used to work?
Did it work before?
No. It will, on occasion, download to the PSP. It'll say that they're there, but it will not play them back.
Well, there is a very limited number of audio type files that the PSP can play.
Right.
It will do unprotected. It won't do Windows Media 9. Won't do Windows Media lossless. Won't do copy protected. So there's an extremely limited number of file types that the PSP supports.
Okay. And by going to Hewlett-Packard, they say that driver is not available over the Internet.
Well, it wouldn't be from HP. It would be from Sony.
From Sony.
Right.
Yeah. Right. They're also, the people who make the PSP.
You also need firmware version 2.6 or later from Sony for the PSP.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find a URL. Yep, well, I have a URL for it. We'll post it on the link list.
Okay.
At the Soundbites homepage, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, you can find a tab across the top called Links.
Okay.
And on that tab, the third link down is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. And Steve, those are all by date, ordered by date as well as alphabetically. So on the left side, by date, you should be able to find the list you're looking for with no trouble.
Okay, I appreciate it.
There you go.
You all have a good day.
You too, then. Our next caller is Patty from Kendall, New York. Welcome, Patty. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. I don't know if you remember, but I called last weekend.
Yeah, I remember you did. I don't remember what it was about, though.
I called about file sharing on a wireless home network, and then a nice gentleman from Holly called in about a half hour later.
Oh, yeah.
And tried to offer an answer to my question. Basically, we have a desktop and a laptop, both with the same user account name and password. We can see the files on the laptop from the desktop, but not the other way around.
Right. We were thinking, and after the caller called in, it might be the firewall on that one computer not allowing file sharing to pass out.
And we checked that. We've been working on it all week, and we can't get anywhere. I just didn't know if you might have had another thought.
The first thing is to just turn the firewall off completely and see what happens.
We did try that.
On both computers?
Yep.
It's on that one computer. And, matter of fact, it's interesting you said that. Because I got another email in the Squirrel Mail account, two of them actually, with folks with the identical problem. And like I say, there's something in the Windows settings that got changed or isn't, you know, allowing it to share, even though you tell it to share. It's not.
It's. I'm remembering now. It's not that it's not sharing. It's when you type your username and password, it doesn't work.
All right, Patty, hang on the line. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Patty from Kendall, New York. Me, Nick Francesco, and you on Soundbites at a quarter after. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
And how do we follow that?
Yeah, well, we try not to. Patty, are you still there? Patty?
Yeah.
Maybe, okay. There you are. A couple of things that you might want to think about. First, I think we did this. Now, the one machine can share to the other one just fine.
Right.
But can the other machine see that first machine? Or?
Yes, I can see it. I just can't open the files. The message I get says, you know, the name of my laptop is not accessible. You might not have permission to use this network resource. Contact the administrator.
Right, that's a permission error. That's not a file sharing error.
Right.
All right. Here's one thing to try, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked a trick. Because Windows is a little dumb there. Try changing the, you know how they're both the work groups?
Yeah.
Try changing the work group name on both machines.
Okay.
And that, like, creates another whole group. And, you know, change the names to something else. If their default is MS Home, change them to Work Group or Patty or whatever. Reboot them and then see if they see each other.
The other thing is this file that you're trying to share, is it the whole hard drive or just a folder?
Just a folder.
Hmm. Well, the one thing you can do is go into the file sharing properties on that folder and in the access control list. Turn
set
off,
it to everybody.
Yeah, set everybody to all and see what happens.
Yep, I've tried all these things, guys.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have you tried just deleting the share itself and recreating it? In other words, go in and say stop sharing and then start sharing again?
Okay, I'll try that.
Because I don't know why, and I can't give you any answer, but I've seen that work. I've seen that work.
Yeah, because the sharing is
I've
working.
Seen that
it's
work,
the permission level
seen,
that isn't
like
working.
Like I said,
yeah.
the renaming the work groups.
Yeah, removing the SharePoint, recreating the SharePoint should recreate new permissions.
Right. So give that a try.
All right, we'll do.
And I'm sorry this is taking us a long time, but let us know, and we'll keep working on this together.
And I've also posted a link on XP file sharing setup, and it might have some more tips on it, too.
Right.
It's a really great website called Practically Networked that tells you a lot of great things about networking PCs.
Right. Nice place. All right, before we get back to the phones, I should tell you that the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia upheld the FCC's August 2004 ruling, saying interconnected voice over IP providers, those are the people who let you do Skype and all those other
VoIP
phones, the phones over the computer, must allow wiretapping by May 14th, 2007. Several groups, including the American Council on Education, Sun, and the Center for Democracy and Technology, have appealed the ruling. The FCC ruling requires VoIP providers that provide a substitute service for traditional telephone service to comply with a 1994 telephone wiretapping law called the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act. The U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI, in requesting the ruling, argued that their surveillance efforts are compromised without CALEA rules for VoIP. That's the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Act.
Now, theoretically, they have to get the proper subpoena from a judge with the proper, you know, evidence.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, theoretically.
Yeah. But that's something that the VoIP people are letting you are going to have to deal with. And if you are a VoIP customer, be aware that you are now subject to the same wiretapping laws as you are on a landline. So those of you with the tinfoil hats who've been using VoIP because it's safer than phone, yeah, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it never has been. There's a wonderful little program with the charming acronym VOMIT, Voice Over Misconfigured Internet Telephones, that lets you grab VoIP
Anybody's?
Traffic over the internet, turn it into, and it reassembles it correctly, and turns it into a WAV file that you can play and listen to.
Oh, just what I want to do.
Isn't that neat? I actually did that to demonstrate to my class because I teach a security course, and the conversation I got is not something I was willing to play to anybody ever.
Well, I like your example about turning on a packet sniffer and finding 10 passwords in 2 seconds.
Yes.
Of everyone in your class.
Yep. I knew them all. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hey, Joe. She has a Windows Pro laptop.
Are you talking about Patty?
No.
What? I missed the beginning of your...
Oh, she has a Windows Pro laptop computer.
Okay.
And when she goes into most of her documents, she gets DS-store. It's a low dash line. And it's an HTML document. And there are, like, when she goes into different document folders, there are, like, 45 of them. Where does it come from, and can I trash them?
Oh, you're saying that there's a folder in there, or?
There's a document in there. When she goes into most of her document folders, there's this document called DS Store.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I know what that is.
Yeah, it's the one that starts with this is a Mac thing.
Yeah, the DS underscore store is created by the Macintosh.
No.
When you mount a hard drive, it creates this file to remember your Windows positions.
Right.
Where you've put Windows. So if you look at a folder on a PC that has been accessed from a Mac and you have your invisible files turned on, you will see these DS store files. You can delete them, and the next time the Mac connects to that folder, it will recreate them.
Oh, okay, because they're all over the place.
Yes, they would be. Anywhere that a Mac has looked at those files.
Every single folder that the Mac opens up on the PC, it creates the folder.
Now, there are
That's
two
one
things
of the annoyances.
Can, right, there are two things you can do about this. One is to just keep deleting them, and the other is to turn off view hidden files.
Okay.
One of the reasons they're hidden is because you don't need to see them.
And there's also a terminal command that I can post to prevent the macOS from creating those files on a network drive. It will still create them on its own Mac drive because you want it to save your window position so it remembers where you put that window, but it won't create them on a network drive.
But that will annoy the heck out of the Mac people. The easiest thing to do is just turn off view hidden files. I mean, most of the time they're hidden just because They're things that are used by the operating system to do stuff. You don't need to see them. There's nothing there to see.
Yeah, it's
so you know the question is, are you really concerned about the one or two bytes those .ds store files take, or are you just annoyed by seeing them? If you're just annoyed by seeing them, stop seeing them.
Right.
Yeah. So
and it can be a big deal because they're one or two bytes, but if you do a lot of file sharing, you know, that can add up.
Right, depends on how big your hard drive is, right?
Yeah.
Does each take up 4K?
Right.
No matter how big they are, that's true. But, even so, there's just people are calling all the time about, oh, I see this thing. I don't know what to do about this. It's a hidden file. Just leave it hidden.
Go into your view options and uncheck show hidden files.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Now, Dave and I use those all the time for troubleshooting and, delete this, delete that, and sometimes I'll forget to turn it off again.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to remember.
Right. And on Windows, there are a bunch of hidden files that you want to be able to get into at various times, but in general, you just want to hide them.
Yep.
All right. Our next caller is Lynn from Westerondequoit, New York. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
Good morning. First, thank you for having this program. I've learned a lot.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
I have a Dell about a year old, Pentium 4, running XP. Dave Enright set it all up. My husband bought everything and took it over to him.
Nice.
And so I figured I'm working on something that shouldn't go wrong. Okay. I do.
It's a computer, isn't it? Oh, this is what's gone wrong, Lynn. Hold on. We got to take a break, so stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. At 28 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. When we come back, we'll be talking to Lynn, who is going to hold on. We've got a couple of other people on the line. If you're not on the line, you should be. It's 222-1180 in the 585 area code. For those many of you listening outside the 585 area code, it's 800-295-1180. That's a free call for you. How exciting is that? And, of course, if you are a Verizon Wireless customer, it's *1180. Just make sure you are not driving when you call us. We will be back, as I said before, in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. You just can't say Rob Linton enough. Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, back in a bit.
Eat smart. Stay active. You've
heard.
Get down.
Oh, okay, I couldn't hear it very well.
Another luminary passed away this week.
Which one?
James Brown.
Oh, that was last. Was that this week?
Or last week?
That was
a couple weeks ago.
That was a couple weeks ago.
Anyway, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
At 32 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites, and we have Lynn from West Arundequoit on the line. Okay, well, Lynn, you've got a Dell P4 with XP.
Right. Anyway, I run a security tango every Sunday.
Nice.
And today, I can't seem to run it. I can't get into safe mode.
Why do you go? You don't need to go into safe mode. The only reason you need to go in safe mode is if Adware and SpyBot won't run in regular mode.
Oh.
But if she can't go into safe mode, there's something wrong with the computer.
Right.
Well, it just might be
a
timing issue.
That's a separate problem.
Yeah.
That's a different problem.
Are you getting the menu to tell it safe mode, or you're not getting the menu?
I get the menu, and then I go up the line to enter and then enter again. Then it comes a screen that's got an awful lot of printing.
Yeah.
And then it hesitates, and then it goes to the screen where I can enter as the administrator or my name.
Right.
I can't get into that screen right there. It just, the screen just went black.
So after the login screen comes up, but before you can type your password, it goes black?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just try going in regular mode. I mean, there isn't...
Okay. All right.
You really don't need to run those. The reason we say safe mode is if there is an issue with SpyBot and AirWare running in normal mode.
Okay.
So try that and see how...
Now, what do I do? I've just left it. Can I just turn the computer off?
Just turn it off, let it set for a few seconds, and then reboot it.
Okay. I can turn it off.
Yep.
All right.
Kind of got it now because it's stuck. So, you know, yeah, it won't hurt it one bit, and you'll be all set.
All right. Our next caller is Jeanette from Batavia, New York. Welcome, Jeanette. What's your question?
Yes. Good morning. We currently do not have a home computer, and we're considering getting a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not sure how to go about that. We use computers at work, but me in particular, I'm not real computer literate. I know what I need to do, but I don't know all the terminology in that. And so I'm just wondering, can you suggest a make, maybe an internet provider, you know?
Well, there are a few things that you can do here.
Yeah.
Let me start by being the one to suggest. I don't sell computers, so trust me, I have no vested interest in this. But I have two gentlemen sitting beside. Well, I have two male humans sitting beside me who do sell computers. They sell both desktops and laptops. Both of them are very reputable individuals. Dave Enright and Steve Ray. Dave owns Enright PC, and Steve owns Mac Av or Jesse Group or whatever you want to call that, part owner in that. So either one of them would be a good place to start. They can they're both honest gentlemen, and they can give you an idea of what you need and what you want to do. Now, as far as
why do you want a laptop as opposed to say a desktop unit?
Because of space, we don't have any place to put a desktop.
Well, there are very small desktops that are smaller than some laptops.
So I guess you're saying that a desktop is...
Desktops are cheaper. You usually pay about $1,000 more for a similarly configured laptop.
Right. And the capabilities can be expanded upon with a desktop versus a laptop.
Mm-hmm. And even the small all-in-one desktops are easy to carry around your house if you want to move it into a different room without the added expense of a laptop.
I mean, nowadays with a flat panel screen... and a keyboard, and you put the case down on the floor, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't take up much room.
The only real reason for a laptop is if you really truly intend to carry it around to places where you normally wouldn't use a desktop, like you want to sit in the backyard for an hour.
Right.
Or you don't want to string an extension cord to the backyard.
Right. But that's the idea behind that. But you can talk to these guys about all of those things. In addition, as far as internet service providers are concerned, if you're looking for broadband, there are two major choices in town. Frontier, which has a DSL service, and Roadrunner, which has a cable modem service.
So does that mean you have to have a cable service in your area?
You would if you wanted the cable modem, yes.
Okay, and we don't.
Then you want to talk to the folks at Frontier about whether or not you can get DSL service.
And likely she can't, because places that don't have cable TV run probably are too far away from the phone switch for a DSL line.
What we have here, we have DirecTV.
Right. Satellite internet runs about $100 a month or so.
Right.
Well, check with the phone company first.
Now, would you have to have Frontier service for your home phone?
You don't have to, but they have bundles together where you get phone and internet and TV for special bundles, just like Time Warner has phone and internet and TV bundles for cable.
Okay, I didn't think Frontier served Genesee County, though.
Well, check...
check with your local phone company. They may have their own DSL.
Their own.
And then there's national companies like Earthlink that sell DSL by basically subcontracting your local phone company for it.
But your best bet at this point, Jeanette, is really two things. First, check with your local phone company about their service, and then call either Dave or Steve. Both of them are listed on our homepage at soundbites.org. Of course, if you don't have a computer, you can't get there. So Dave and Steve can give us their phone numbers.
442-4843.
That's for Enright PC Management. And for Jesse Group?
It's 924-1920. And we're in Victor, so that's, we get a lot of customers from the southern tier, Geneseo, Mount Morris, Dansville, because they don't want to drive all the way to the city. But then we have people, they have people in the city that won't drive to Victor. Oh, that's too far away.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, we're just past
right.
Eastview Mall, you know, which right. is right around the corner, according to their slogans.
Right, right. All right, so there's your start, Jeanette. Take your time. This is going to be kind of a semi-long process, but welcome to the club and enjoy what you get.
And just a plug for local vendors. If you know, if you don't want to go with Dave or I, that's fine too. But a local vendor, a face to talk to, someone to go to with your problems.
Keep your money local.
Keep your money local too. You know, an anonymous person at the other end of the phone for on a phone order or mail order. You're not going to get the kind of personal service that companies like Dave and I pride ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. All right. Before we get back to the phones, I completely forgot our news item. We'll skip it. We'll do the news item next time around. All right. heck with it. It's just news. We don't care. Our next caller is Gary from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have a problem with my Explorer EXE keeps closing out.
Uh-huh.
It tells me that Windows is creating a problem for me, or not Windows is creating a problem, but the EXE is creating a problem, and that it closes it out. And it does this two or three times when I'm on the internet for two, right. 3 hours.
Is it explorer.exe or is it iExplorer.exe?
Well...
Yeah,
because Explorer,
two different programs.
Right? Explorer.exe is your desktop.
Yeah, a multi-quintillion-dollar company. They can't afford anybody to make up names for them. They got like a half a dozen products called Explorer. Well, hold on. We'll get back to this question when we come back. We're gonna take a quick break. We have Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Exciting and new. Come aboard.
Yeah. It's the love boat.
Do you want to know why I'm playing this?
Because we love each other.
Because that's where I will be for the next 2 weeks. I will be thinking.
I think you're already there.
I am already. That's not nice.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton. Apparently not even here.
You're not even
this
here.
This is just a recording.
Exactly. Yes. It's 46 minutes after the hour. And you're listening to Sound Bites and the Love Boat. All right. Friends of mine actually had a Love Boat-themed wedding. We all got up on stage and sang the...
Who was Captain Steubing?
...things theme song. He was the guy who was in charge of the boat.
Mrs. You can't be Steubing.
No. I mean, in your wedding, who was Captain Steubing?
Mrs. Stevens.
Well, no, the priest, the guy who officiated on the ceremony was Captain Steubing. They were, that's how you, because the captain of the boat can perform the marriage, right? So that's how that worked. We had Gary.
Gavin McLeod.
Well, yeah, we know that. He was talking about in the wedding.
Yeah.
Gary, are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Now, when you say Explorer keeps closing out, you're talking about Internet Explorer. This happens when you're on the internet.
Yes.
All right. Now, when you do that, does it happen instantly or is it at certain websites?
Yeah. Well, I very seldom go any place but Yahoo, but the difficulty I'm finding is that sometimes it happens when I'm just sending an email, too.
Okay, but you can get on the internet fine.
Yeah, I stay on the internet, but it closes all my windows. If I have a couple of windows open, it closes them all.
Yes, it would if it dies, but I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to a specific point here, and I'm not making myself clear.
Okay.
This does not happen when you first start Internet Explorer. It happens later on after you've been on for a while.
Yes.
Okay. Then the problem is not necessarily with the program itself. Did you by any chance download and install Internet Explorer 7?
Jeez. I don't think so. I think I have 6.
It came as an update.
Yeah, if you didn't turn it off, you got it whether you wanted it or not.
So if you are running Internet Explorer 7, which, of course, is easy enough to check help about, and you can find that out, If you are running the Internet Explorer 7, uninstall it. You will go back to 6.
Okay.
We're finding an insane number of problems with Internet Explorer 7.
Especially if you'd installed a lot of plugins and toolbars and extra things for IE6. None of them work in IE7, and you have to update them all.
Okay.
So, our suggestion is make sure you're running IE6 and that you go back to it.
Okay, so just do a search for IE7 and
Well, go into Add Remove Programs in your control panel, and that will tell you which version you're running, and if it's 7, uninstall it.
But if he's got Internet Explorer up, all he does is go to Help and About.
Right, and that'll tell him,
it'll tell him right there.
The icon looks different on the desktop if you're that attentive, which most of us aren't.
Right. But give that a try. I expect that's your problem. We're finding a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, and it's not, well, I'll be the Microsoft apologist for a few minutes.
Holy cow!
It's not specifically Internet Explorer 7. In many cases, it's the plugins you've installed. The Google toolbar, the Yahoo toolbar, you know, this toolbar, that toolbar. The Flash animations, you might have to update your Flash plugin and your Media Player plugin.
Some folks have toolbars for their toolbars.
Yeah.
Right. All right, we are going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 49 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. All right, kiddies, sit back, get your footy jammies on, grab that cup of hot cocoa, and gather around the rocking chair, because if we can bring him back to the present day, we're going to have story hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Huh?
Uncle Dave?
Huh?
Somebody wipe his chin. Uncle Dave!
I'm here.
Okay. It's time for story hour, Uncle Dave.
Well, hey, after this week, it was a rough week. Gotta let you know. After I left, did the show, like I was telling you last week, left the show from here. Went home, and it's like, man, a truck hit me, and I wish I had gotten the number, because I would have asked him to back up over me. It was that good. But going on things, though, folks, even though I was down and out and then just getting back today, matter of fact, it's my first day back, got to complain about one thing, because I had a couple emails while I was still walking around amongst the living a few days there. Ran into a couple issues, and those are, and I think Steve probably runs into them too, that a couple folks, I think they were going back and forth and wanted me to settle a couple arguments, but I've had other folks email me on the same thing. And what I'm talking about is, say you got a Christmas present, whether it's a CD-ROM drive, DVD, sound card, or whatever, some other device, whether it's an iPod. And you bring it to either, say, like Steve or I or any of the local shops and say, we want you to install this. Okay, we can do that. And you'll guarantee it, right? Well, we'll guarantee our work. Whether the part works or not is not covered under our guarantee.
We have no idea what it is, if it works, if it's compatible.
Right. And if it's broken, don't ask us to return it or get offended. Because we will stand behind our work as far as that in doing, in charging you fairly to put that particular component in, get it up, get it working, and make sure it's up to your satisfaction. But if it's broken, that is not our issue, nor is it covered. Or if it's, you've spent the time or we've spent some time getting it in and then it dies again because of a defaulted product. We don't owe you a refund.
Well, this is a lot like you bring your car to somebody and they fix the windshield wiper motor, and then the next day your transmission goes.
Yeah.
It's insanely unlikely that there's a cause and effect there.
Right. And the other thing that folks have a problem with is, if we install something and then they go, like you were just saying, they bring it in for one problem and say we install a new CD-ROM driver that. And install the software in it. They try another. Well, this isn't working.
Yeah, you didn't fix this problem. You didn't tell us that was a problem.
Yeah, well, it was working before. Well, you didn't ask us. Well, don't you check everything out? Again, folks, if you want to pay us the time, it cost us time. Oh, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, we can look through all the hundreds of programs on your computer, make sure they all
test
work.
Test out each one.
It only cost $200-$300.
Yeah, and it's going to have to cost
and
you.
And cheap at that.
Yeah.
And... you know, we just can't do it for free because, you know, it's other stuff that, you know, we could be working at. So, no, we're not going to test. You bring it in. If you're specific with us, what isn't working or other things that you possibly want us to check out, sometimes we can do it really quick. But if we don't have a clue about it and then you want us to start from scratch, that could add up to more time. And don't be surprised if other shops do the same.
That's, again, I got to go back to the car analogy. I took my car in last week for a bunch of work. I forgot to tell them I was having a problem with the spritzer, the thing, you know, for the windshield. And you know what? They didn't fix that. Is that their fault? No.
Hey.
All right. I feel better now. Well, we're... Rob does not feel
better. This is us closing out of Happy Hour or whatever it's called.
We got to find a better intro tune.
Noelle, we need a better close for Happy Hour. Maybe
I like this one.
A little lullaby that...
I like this
one. Put Uncle Dave back to sleep. It's time to take off your footy jammies, kids. It's time to put away the hot cocoa and the teddy bears. And we're going to put Uncle Dave away for another week. Put him in cold storage and just leave him down in the basement. And we'll be back next week with another story hour by Uncle Dave. But in the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones. And our next caller is Mary Beth from Niagara Falls. Slowly return to Niagara Falls, New York. And Mary Beth. Welcome, Mary Beth. What's your question?
I was wondering if you have any opinions about the reliability of a hard drive in a desktop versus a laptop.
They're about the same.
Okay.
They should be. Let's put it this way. They should
be. Well, see, now there's the joke. Well, I don't know if joke is the right word.
No.
The
meantime, when it comes to people's data.
Mean time between failure is 100,000 hours. That means one drive lasted 10 years and one drive lasted 5 minutes.
Right, right.
And who knows which end you get.
In general, the drives are fairly much the same, so the quality of them is the same. The problem, the difference is how do you treat your laptop. Banging a laptop around, flinging it into the car, jostling it around, you go make a quick stop and it falls from the seat to the floor. Those things take their toll on the hard drives and, in fact, on all the components in a laptop. So while the reliability of the drive itself is very high, the way that you treat the laptop will make a difference. Now, for example, if you're one of those people who bought a laptop... And for example, like Jeanette wants a laptop, but she's probably just going to stick it on a desk. Well, that hard drive will last 5 years.
And laptop hard drives are about twice as expensive as desktop hard drives at the same capacity. But they're physically smaller. So you want physically small, or do you want a higher capacity for the same price?
But in general, you know, all things being equal, they're the same. But the reality is that because of the way you treat them, laptop hard drives don't last as long. And of course, as we always suggest... Back up. Always back up.
Yes.
Back up every single day.
Never take it
takes
granted.
There's nothing worse than, oh, all my good stuff is on here and I never backed it up. Oh, I see. It wasn't worth you taking 30 seconds to back it up, but now I have to spend 10 hours finding your data. It's going to cost you a lot more money.
I got three machines in my office trying to recover data now.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It's the news, it's the weather, it's the sports. On the other side of that, you'll have more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
All for now. Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about backing up. We had a gentleman on the show, did a little interview with him from a backup company. And so we talked about backing up, and we asked, how often do you back up? We had 262 people answer the poll, making it number 213 in the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. The number one choice was, actually, it was a tie between once I'm reminded, thanks, and back up, I'm going commando.
Love those people.
Yes, you do. And the once, just once, was the lowest at 9%, but just above that was once a day. I would love to see that get much, much higher. This week's poll is about, this week, of course, we had the Computer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. And before Steve mentions it, I mentioned the Adult Expo was across the street. And Apple also had their expo.
Right, it was a rough week, all three expos in the same week.
Yeah.
Next year, CES is first, and then Macworld's the next week.
So we
go to Vegas for a week, and then we go to Frisco for a week. Actually, San Francisco. Sorry about that.
Right.
Well, they heard from a guy podcasting what to do in San Francisco, and his number one thing is don't call it Frisco. They're kind of laid back out there, so they won't beat you up, but they won't like it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Apple introduced the height of the thing was, you know, after 4 years of the same rumor, it finally came true. Apple introduced the iPhone. It's Apple's new revolution for the few. Apple shot for the ultimate high end with their iPhone announcement, loaded it with radical new features that other phone manufacturers will, of course, be racing to catch up with. The problem with the iPhone is that it is very high-priced, and as Steve pointed out, all new products are always high-priced. That's not the problem.
And it's not that high-priced when you consider, you know, a high-end smartphone from Palm or Motorola, plus a high-end, you know, flash-based video iPod.
Well, right. Plus they also got sued the day they bring it out.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but it has GSM, it has Edge, it has Bluetooth. It has Wi-Fi. It has a super high-res touchscreen
coffee maker.
So that's kind of nice.
It's the multi-touch interface is new, and it's
right
almost,
where you can squeeze something and make it smaller, or stretch something with two fingers.
And it's almost going to require a paradigm shift because there was an emerging technologies conference last year where they were talking about this. All of our computers for the last 20, 30 years are single-point interfaces. Wherever the mouse is touching is one point. These new multi-point interfaces, and he was showing it with the keyboard, you can type with several fingers on the on-screen keyboard, and it recognizes each of your touches individually. You look at a computer trackpad now, or even a graphics tablet, if you touch it in two different places, it gets confused and doesn't know which one to use.
Right. The big problems with it right off the bat are it does have email, but it's Yahoo email, a third party.
Well, it will connect to any POP or IMAP mail server. If you don't already have one, you can get a free Yahoo account.
And it doesn't do document editing. And, of course, it doesn't attach to Exchange.
Well, if Exchange has POP and IMAP turned on, it will. And if it has OWA, it will.
Right. But, you can do it through the web interface.
And that's one of the coolest things, is I've tried using Internet on the Q and the Trio, and the screen is so small, and it's just horrible. With the way Apple Safari is running their web browser on the iPhone, it's such a big screen and such a high-res screen, you see basically a thumbnail of the entire website. You tap on what you want to see on it, zooms right into it. So it makes using the web, you know, completely usable on a smartphone.
Right. And I'll tell you the one thing that most excites me about the iPhone is the really horrible battery life. And I'm honest about it. I'm not kidding about that. And I'll tell you why it excites me. The iPhone, if you do a lot of phoning and a lot of music playing and a lot of everything else, the battery only lasts about 5 hours, they're saying.
No, that's video.
And do video and everything
without
else.
Without video, it's 12 to 15 hours.
But I'm excited about that. And the reason I'm excited about it is because if Steve Jobs decides that's the reason that iPhones don't sell, he'll put a team on it to finally fix battery problems. We'll get a whole new battery out of the deal when Jobs gets a group of people together to fix the problem.
We're running lithium polymer batteries now. But that's always been the problem. The more things you add to the device, the shorter the battery.
Well, I'm not saying that's his fault or something Apple did wrong. Yeah. There's no question that it's just
something
the way the technology works.
Better.
But I'm actually excited about that. I honestly think that this is the point where Jobs is going to say, you know what, we need to take some of the brain power we've been putting into everything else and finally solve this battery. Battery problem once and for all.
I see. I almost want to get one and ignore the phone parts of it and just use the widescreen iPod. You know, the 3.5-inch screen is just gorgeous, and mobile internet Wi-Fi.
Right.
And that's actually one of the annoyances that we have at Jesse Group is they signed an exclusive contract with Singular, now AT&T, and they're using the Singular's Edge network, which is only about 150K. We specifically became a Verizon dealer for the Verizon EVDO network, which is 700K.
Right.
So it's significantly faster, but now we can't quite sell the iPhone yet.
Well, yes.
And the other thing is it's not coming out until June if they're lucky. So, you know, by then we'll have a singular dealership set up.
Right. But at any rate, that's what this week's poll is about, Apple's iPhone. It's insanely great, very nice, it's okay, and battery life is disappointing. So far, we've had about 63 votes. Number one on the list is it's okay, followed by battery life is disappointing. So please vote on our website. That's soundbites.org, bites with a Y. Once you're done with that, you will see underneath it a little yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
That was appropriate.
We are in a mood today, aren't we? Why, heavens to Murgatroyd. Where you can then enter an opinion. So far, we've got 13 opinions, and of course, I'll be going in and editing a few of those since they're people tend to get out of hand when they talk about Apple. I don't know what that's about. And while you're there, take a look around. I get my newsletter and all the other stuff that I do. You can join that for $15 a year. It's a pretty neat thing. And then come back to the Soundbites website and meet some of the neatest people on earth. They're in the forums there as well. And we have a lot of fun on our site. It's soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. So join us there and join us. Join us. All right, we'll go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Garrett from East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Garrett. What's your question?
How you doing, Nick? What I have is two virus programs, I think, fighting each other. When I log on or boot up, it looks for an old McAfee I used to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought I removed the program before.
Mm-hmm.
But now my the Easy Firewall from Roadrunner there says that turns off and says that's off. So, you know, I bypass the one and then now I don't know if I don't have virus on or off or...
Well, if you go into... you're running Windows XP, I take it?
Yes.
All right. If you go down to the start...
Okay.
And
I'm just was going to log on and duplicate...
Well, we can't walk you through...
Yeah, write this down.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go to the start.
So if you go to start, you go to run, and you type in msconfig.
That's
msconfig. Go over to the start tab. And in there, see if there's any remnants of, if you see any of the programs and they reference McAfee. If they do, uncheck them. Because those are the things that are getting loaded at startup.
Okay.
Also, check in your startup group. If you go to start, you go to programs and check your startup group, make sure there's nothing in there to McAfee. If you get rid of those and you reboot the machine, McAfee shouldn't bother you anymore.
I see. So now the start, the program, msconfig, or the startup group?
There's a startup tab.
Okay.
And see if there's any, there'll be a bunch of check marks. And if anything references McAfee, that's what you uncheck.
All right.
All right, go for it.
And you may need to reinstall the last version of McAfee you had so you can uninstall it completely. One of the problems that we run into a lot, in fact, an earlier caller almost did it, you cannot simply drag a program to the trash in Windows. You must use the add remove program to uninstall programs.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Terry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Hi. I have a new DVD that was installed, and right after it was installed, some files that I already had on the computer couldn't be played anymore through MS Video Player. They were the WMV files, the WAV files. My MPG files play fine, but files that I had before can't play anymore.
What happens when you try?
I get a picture that is, the colors are all together. You can't distinguish anything.
Is it still trying to open Windows Media Player?
Yes. Well, the Windows Media Player does open, but the WMV files, just you can't discern anything on them.
What may have happened is when they installed the DVD player, they installed a different DVD playback program
yeah.
That's now fighting for control of your media files.
Okay. Yeah, usually in... like if they installed the Nero program, you can do a complete install. What you can do is if they gave you a CD and it's usually red and it says Nero.
Yes.
All right. Uninstall the software in the add remove programs.
Yeah.
and then you can reboot the machine, put the CD back in, and when you go to install Nero, instead of installing the complete package, just install the burning program, which is the top one.
Was this a DVD burner or DVD player? Or both?
Both.
Okay. What I was thinking, it's the DVD playback software they may have installed that's fighting with the video playback
software.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. If he uninstalls all that software, right, that gets rid of the whole package.
When it may be something called Inner DVD or Win DVD.
Yeah,
there are other DVD playback programs for playing DVDs on that drive.
Uh-huh.
And they may be fighting with Windows Media Player.
Okay.
You may need to update Windows Media Player as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like I say, if you uninstall the whole package, then you can reboot it, put the DVD, the CD back in, that red CD, and just select, instead of saying the full package, that's, you know, just installs all four programs, you just need the first one for burning and, for burning CDs or DVDs.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks. We are going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. At 19 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 222.
America's only call-in show devoted to
Wham's Bob Lons.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 22 minutes,
you know,
minutes
the funniest
the
part
hour,
of those
who are you going to call? Sound bites.
Those little sound effects is the blank stares on your face when I play them.
I knew like, who that was. Didn't I just say?
Who was it?
I said, who are you going to call?
Oh, that's good. That's right.
I knew who that was.
Only
I knew
because
exactly
I told
who
you.
That was. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You didn't tell me.
Uh huh.
You never said Ghostbusters. When someone asks you if you're God, you say yes!
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
The Office.
Mm-hmm. No.
Office Space. No. Office Space. Office Space. Yeah.
Gary Cole. And if you
Gary
look,
Cole from Office Space.
If you look really closely, he's wearing his Earth Force Academy ring from Babylon 5.
Yes, he is.
He still wears that.
Wow.
See that?
You guys are going to miss me the next 2 weeks while I'm gone.
Yeah, well, you can't shoot that far. For those of you who are not planning on buying an iPhone but are looking for a new media player, SanDisk has the Sansa Connect coming out. This is actually kind of exciting. It features streaming internet radio, finally. It's got a micro SD slot, a 2.5-inch color display. But the centerpiece feature here, of course, is the Wi-Fi content acquisition. Connect just supports WMA in both unprotected and protected files, specifically names Play for Sure and Vista support, but also utilizes an open or non-proprietary digital rights management system that will allow users to purchase songs or access subscription download services from specific premium internet sites. Now, they do make, they don't talk about transferring media to your pals, but they do make mention of a community connection to other players. It's a 4 gigabyte player. It'll be about $250 when it hits the streets in late March. The reason this excites me is because I listen to internet radio all the time. There's a bunch of...
It's not going to be that big either. 2 inches by 3.5, and it's only about 0.5 inch thick.
Yeah, it's a little guy sticking
nice.
In your pocket and,
yeah.
and go. And because I listen to so much internet radio... it'll be nice to have a little tiny device I can just stick in a pocket and go with that. I like the idea of that. And I'm a SanDisk fan to begin with because they work under Linux without any question or problem. Our next caller is Gene from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
I downloaded Stop Sign from from Soundbites, and I ran the program. And when I shut off my computer or I went to turn it back on again, all I've got is the Dell welcome screen.
What is Stop Sign?
We don't.
It's a. I got it right off of Soundbites.
No, you didn't.
Not off of our website.
That's not one of them we were.
Soundbites doesn't have a link to any product called Stop Sign.
Well, this one was wherever I got it from. It whatever it did, it's supposed to get rid of viruses and worms.
Yeah.
And,
well, in any case, let's solve the problem.
Yeah.
From wherever you got it, let's solve the problem.
Okay.
It can be any one of a couple of things, but what likely happened was either a bad download and install, or the thing may not have been finished when you were working. So how do we fix that? I think the easiest thing to do is to install Windows over Windows. What do you think?
Yeah.
It won't take it.
Try to uninstall stop sign.
I can't get any screens outside of the welcome screen with my name on it.
All right, hold on a minute.
Then it shuts itself off again.
Okay.
Well, that's a different issue then.
When you're all right, here's one thing to try. What you can do is when it's reboots, keep hitting the F8 key. And you're going to get a menu. And the top one there is safe mode.
Okay.
See if you can get into safe mode. Now, what you're going to want to do is after you get into safe mode, go into Start Programs Accessories. And then there's a folder called System Tools.
Okay.
Under System Tools, there is a Restore program, System Restore. Click on that. Open that up, and then pick a date prior to when you did this stop sign. You'll select a date. What the system is going to do, it's going to take a little while, but it'll reboot and take some time loading, but it's what it's doing is going back to that point in time before you installed stop sign and using that registry's settings.
Okay. I will try it.
All right.
What is the name of Ron's or Dave's stores?
Mine is NRIPC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard at 442-4843.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Steve is Mac Ave by Jesse Group. We do mostly Macs, but also PCs. We're at 7716 Victor Menden Road in Victor, 924-1920.
There you go.
And we should note that early versions of Stop Sign were malware.
Yeah.
Because they used deceptive advertising practices to sneak into your computer. That may be part of the problem.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure where exactly that came from. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Anybody there, can they recommend a good file shredder program? You know, one that shreds folders and data files and...
Norton used to have a utility for shredding. Folders and that.
You can buy industrial shredders that will eat the hard drives.
I think he's done. Yeah. there are a bunch of places. There is a, and I got to be honest with you, I haven't tried any of these, so take this entirely with a grain of salt.
Okay.
But there's a company called.
Here's one place to go look for. If you go to PCWorld.com.
Okay.
And because they've got no axe to grind because they don't, take any, advertising and all that. They do great research on printers and everything else. Look at them and their suggestion for file erasing programs.
One we talked about before was called Window Washer.
And right.
On PC World, though, you've got a lot of programs. They rate them and, give people's opinions on whether, it's a good one, a bad one, or anything else.
Take a window washer.
Yeah.
I mean, is that something you would
recommend? I don't know. Like I say, you can go check it out and see how the rating is. There's some freebies, and then there's some payware.
Right. Window washer is one that they like a lot. It's at webroot.com. There's another one they like called File Eraser. But like I said, haven't tried many of these, but they seem to like window washer.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thanks. That does cost $30, but
yeah,
but,
they have a free trial you can download.
Yeah. Right. So at least you can tell whether or not it's something you like. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. Didn't we just do Bob?
Well, this is going to be an easy one because he wants to know where MS Config is in Windows 2000.
Is that who we've got here, Bob?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something happened before, and I guess you didn't hear me.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Is there MS Config for 2000 also?
No.
And I had one other question. Is there a similar utility that you can use?
No. Okay. What you've got to do for the problem with Windows 2000 is you have to use RegEdit.
Okay.
I don't recommend that for the average user.
It is possible to use the MS Config from XP under 2000.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So wow. if you have an XP machine lying around, I don't know how well I'd like that or not.
No,
but it's
possible. I wouldn't recommend that personally. No.
Okay, I had the reason that came up. I had a problem earlier in the week where on my tax manager, mm-hmm. The thing sort of I don't know exactly what happened to it, but when I went to tax manager, you know, control alt delete, click on tax manager. The only things that I saw, I didn't see any processes or performance or the tabs and menus at the top. The only thing I saw were any open applications. There was no buttons or anything else anywhere on the screen. Do you guys know what I had to, you know, I ended up just doing another setup for 2000, but do you guys know what that was from or anything?
So you're saying what? that the tabs in
the tabs were all gone. They
in
were
the
all
task
gone.
Manager.
Right,
yeah.
The tabs were missing. The application screen was open, but the application screen was open, but there was no buttons on it, and the processes, you couldn't switch over to the processes tab. There was no closed screen. The only way to close it was click on the little icon that comes up in the system tray.
Yeah, there's actually a you're running Task Manager in small footprint mode at that point.
Okay.
And if you double click anywhere along the top or the side borders, it should appear. I don't know how it gets into that state.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. It absolutely wouldn't.
Even if you double click in the top or side borders?
I didn't try to double click.
Well, that's what you have to do.
Okay.
That brings it out of small footprint mode back into regular mode.
Okay.
Give that a try. Let us know. All right. Thank you. Hello? All right. Yep. Thank you. Our next caller is Roger from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I was wondering what would cause... I've got three... compact presarios in our house, two in my office and one we just use for home use. And the oldest two are only 3 years old and the other one is only two. And the CD drawers on all of them act up. They won't open except when they want to. And you got to play with them and monkey with them and push the damn button and stuff like that. And now, one computer, the CD drawer won't open at all. As a matter of fact, it just keeps clicking and clicking. As a matter of fact, I uninstalled it right from the driver, right from system.
Roger, what antivirus software are you running?
I got Norton's internet, and it has all that stuff on it.
Yeah, and is it up to date?
Oh, yeah, everything. Windows doesn't even... I have everything with Windows right up to date, right to the minute.
What version of Norton is it?
Well, it's 2006. Probably be getting 2007 pretty quick. But it's always up to date, constantly.
And when did this recently start happening?
Well, my wife's, and she doesn't even hardly use that at all, and none of us use the CDs for music much. It's very rare. It's basically just to load software. And
well,
stuff
see,
like
the,
that.
Yeah, the reason that we're asking this, Roger, is because if it was on one machine, I would be willing to say it's mechanical failure.
Yeah.
If it's on three machines simultaneously, that sounds to me...
Well, I'm not saying it all happened at once.
Yes, but I'm also saying that in general, unless you have a house full of insanely heavy smokers, it's unlikely to be a mechanical problem.
And there are several viruses that do this.
Yeah.
Make your CD trays not work and then spit out whenever they feel like.
Right. And so the thing we're asking is... are you certain that your Norton is entirely up to date?
And you've run Adaware and SpyBot?
Have you danced the security tango?
I haven't gotten that. I've heard you talk about it on your show.
Yeah, let me suggest that you do that.
Yeah.
The reason is that while the Norton antivirus software is a pretty decent piece of software, there are some viruses that specifically disable it. and it says it's still running. You think it's still running, but it's not. And Dancing the Full Security Tango will tell you whether or not that's the problem. And I got to be honest, when it's three drawers at once that are acting up, I wonder if, and I don't mean it in synchronous. It's not like they're the June Taylor CD drawers. But I'm saying that three separate drawers are acting up, you know, in the same network, that it's pretty likely that
That'd be pretty cool if they did.
It would be pretty cool. It would be something like to line up and watch happen. But but beyond that, I'm saying that if it's three machines on the same network, it is very likely to be some form of virus. So let me suggest that you dance the tango out your machine.
I was going to say, on a Mac, there's a keyboard shortcut to eject the CD tray, and it's in the upper right-hand corner of the keyboard.
Right.
And it's very easy to accidentally set something on that button.
Yeah, but on three machines at once.
Yeah.
Right. That's where I'm having my problem.
There isn't a key command for that in Windows.
Right. And even if you've got the special keyboard, you'd have to, which does have an eject button on it, you'd have to set something on each of three separate keyboards simultaneously to make that happen. So I'm sorry, but my suggestion, Roger, is that you do your antivirus thing, dance the tango, and let's see what happens there. And I want to thank you for your appreciative laughter on the June Taylor CD tray. That's not a lot of people would get that anymore. Our next caller is Mark from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Excellent.
A couple weeks ago, I heard you talking about a virus program that you would run in lieu of Norton.
Yeah.
And I was looking on your site, but I don't remember the name of it.
It's AVG by Grisoft.
Grisoft?
Yeah, Grisoft. And it's a very good program. It's free. And folks, this is one other thing. Thanks for bringing this up, Mark. I mean, a number of folks have been emailing us and everything else that if you folks, and you've been listening to us for a while now, have switched over to AVG, and say you're using version 7.1, there's been a lot of email floating around. Oh, they say it's not going to be free anymore and everything else. No, what they're trying to do is get you to buy the 7.5 version. 7.5, there is still a free version. And they say, well, how good can it be if it's free? Well, with the free version, yes, it just scans viruses. With the paid version, you get a firewall and a lot of other programs that are bundled with it. So that's the difference between the free and the paid.
Right. But one of the things about the Security Tango that I tried to do was provide all free software.
Right.
There are lots and lots of programs you can buy that do this stuff, and I link to some pay software, but I also try to link to the free stuff. If you go to the Security Tango homepage, on the left you will see all the various Tango links, including my blog, but underneath that, you will see Windows links to antivirus and firewall software.
And that's where the folks that are running 7.1 have to re-download or install 7.5.
Right.
And it's still free.
Right. And the AVG, Grisoft's AVG link, links right to the antivirus free software page. There's also an anti-spyware free software page, and there's a link
for that as well.
AVG
just bought the eWidow. That was the one that I was telling you about.
Right. So check that out. We do try to provide. There are lots of great programs you can buy. I've done my best to try to find programs that are free. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It's 40 minutes after the hour, and it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All righty, then.
That was a great episode. I love that episode.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
Mom, we need more Hot Pockets.
All right. One more.
I don't watch South Park. I know nothing about it.
Me neither.
Yeah, me either. I've told you before, I can't understand a word they're saying. All I ever hear is cheesy poofs.
That's Kenny. He's supposed to sound that way.
Yeah, he's supposed to sound like that. That much I know.
That's Cartman. That's Cartman to me.
Cartman.
But there are people that South Park is like religion to them.
I understand that.
Never miss an episode. Have it all on DVD and VHS at home.
Yes.
And, you know, you won't miss it.
I know. I understand that. Well, before we get back to the phones talking about religion, the SEC is delving into the Steve Jobs Options Grant. The bloom may be coming off of the rose here as the investigators of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission scrutinized the timing of a 2001 options grant that netted jobs an additional an estimated $20 million. SEC investigators are interested in the December 2001 transaction that granted options for 7.5 million Apple shares. The price of those shares was set at an October 2001 date. The difference in prices amounted to more than a profit of more than $20 million. So they went back 2 months for the price share. Apple acknowledged that an internal investigation uncovered that Jobs was aware or recommended the selection of some favorable grant dates, but did not financially benefit from them. I don't quite see how that happens, or appreciate the counting implications of the grants. Now, the SEC is interested in talking to former company CFO Fred Anderson, who resigned in October, as well as former company attorneys Wendy Howell and general counsel Nancy Heinen, regarding the dating of the December grant and the false paperwork regarding the October board meeting. Both Anderson and Heinen stepped down in recent months in moves that were believed to be linked to Apple's internal investigation of the options timing. The Wall Street Journal reports that Howell was also dismissed from the company last month. So we'll see what that has to do. That's a bad thing. I don't care what else happened. That's a very bad thing if that ends up being true. And we'll follow that and let you know what the deal is one way or the other as we learn it.
One of the things that came out when this story first broke a few weeks ago is this isn't exactly illegal as long as you report it properly.
Well, and they did not.
Yeah. But you'd think, backdating anything, isn't that sort of generally illegal?
You would think so, yes. Yes, you would think so. All right. Our next caller is Paul from Canandaigua, New York. Thanks, Paul. What's your question?
Doing great show.
Thanks.
Windows 98.
Uh-oh.
An erratic mouse problem that comes and goes.
Is this a laptop?
No. Desktop.
There are two things. Well, there are several things. Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition. First, there is no more support for Windows 98, so finding a mouse driver may not be that easy. It could be a mouse driver problem, but it is more likely to just be the mouse.
Oh, you think so?
Is this the original mouse that came with Windows 98?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it mechanical or optical?
Mechanical.
Does it have a ball? Take the ball out, clean the ball off,
clean the three rollers off.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cheapest thing to do is to just go out and buy another mouse and see if that solves the problem.
Okay.
If you got another mouse and another computer, try switching them.
Okay.
It may also be that it's a static electricity problem. That happens a lot at this time of year.
Well, I've had the computer for forever, and it's never done anything like this.
Well, it's static electricity.
It
happens every year. Exactly. That's, past performance is no indicator of future.
Congratulations, you have a new issue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a new feature.
So, start with the mouse and see what happens.
Try switching them. If you got another computer with another mouse,
try switching them. See if the problem moves with the mouse.
Yep.
All right. Our next caller is Robert from Bergen, New York. Welcome, Robert. What's your question?
I have two things. I'd just like to say, Nick, I really appreciate your early morning get-ups.
Well, thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. For those who don't know, I have recently, because I'm too stupid to say I am at least for now, and I hope it's at least semi-permanent, the entertainment reporter on Wham. At 6:45 and 7:45 every morning, I sit in with Beth and Chet and
eyelids aren't even thinking of waking up at
my
seven.
Heart doesn't start beating till noon. I have no idea what
God
I talk about
you.
Every
I
morning.
Mean,
but thank you, Robert. Roger, that's...
it's really
Robert from Bergen. It's Robert, not Roger.
Robert, yeah, not Sorry. Roger. No, I've really appreciated it because you bring a different perspective.
Thank you, I think.
I think this is going back to maybe even two before reporters. So I really appreciate it. I really enjoy
it. I very much appreciate hearing that. Thank you.
All right. Now all right. On to the real question.
Exactly.
Windows.
Yes.
3.1.
Wow. Really? Seriously?
No, I'm not running it.
Okay.
But they had a clock feature.
Yep.
Where you could just hit clock and it bugged up this whole thing on your whole screen, or you could minimize it or whatever. How can I get that? I've been looking all over for it because I used to do it when I did training.
Right.
You got a 10-minute break. Poof, pop the clock up, 10 minutes, everybody could see it.
Again, if you go to PCWorld.com, and do a search on clock programs in the download section. They've got a number of them there, I know for a fact, that you can have on the screen. You can set them for different times and everything. Have them as big or as small as you want.
Right.
And look for countdown or timer as well, because you might find one that lets you count down from 10 minutes.
Yep.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and you at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 222-11.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this at 54 minutes after the hour is Soundbites. Well, Microsoft has finally given a reason to spend $400 on Windows Vista Ultimate. As you remember, there are like 8 different versions of Windows coming out.
They can give it, but that doesn't mean I'm buying it.
Right. Well, it's been kind of hard to justify the price, but Windows Ultimate comes with something called Windows Ultimate Extras. During Bill Gates' CES keynote address, the company revealed that it would release ongoing Vista enhancements through Windows Ultimate Extras. This approach, assuming that Microsoft actually delivers something, means that Windows Vista Ultimate users will see improvements and enhancements over time. Now, the big thing is... One of those extras is actually already available to anybody right now. And the other one, all it does is let you put video on your desktop, which is like, who cares?
But that's a wide open statement. In time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Are we talking 1 year, 2 years, couple days?
Right. Now, if in fact Microsoft is delivering goodies that aren't available to other Vista users, you'll see a bunch of people who then will go to Vista Ultimate. But you'll also see a whole bunch of insanely porked off regular Vista users wondering why they can't get this stuff. There's a massive possibility to screw this up, and we hope that that Microsoft does not do that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Angelo from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Angelo. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
New problem. the computer, after log on screen, I get the task bar and no icons for about a minute, and it's not shutting down.
In other words, you can get the machine, get it up and get it running, then when you go to click to shut it down, it's not shutting down?
No. It hangs on shutdown.
So it's slow startup and hanging on shutdown.
Right.
How much memory?
512.
And did it used to run fine?
Yeah, perfect. Until I moved it from upstairs to downstairs.
Are you on some form of broadband?
Yeah.
And did you sling a big long cable?
No.
How are you doing it?
It's a phone line. I switched from one phone line I had upstairs to a second phone line I had downstairs.
Have you listened in on that second phone line with have you plugged in a regular phone and listened to it?
Yeah, I'm talking to you on one right now.
All right. Now, what I'm hearing is a little bit of echo.
Okay.
And a kind of a hollow sound, which you may not have on the upstairs phone. One of the problems with computers is they are very intolerant of phone line problems. And often enough, when you get an echo in a phone line, the human ear just kind of ignores it. Computers cannot ignore it. It sounds like more data to them. And they get confused, and therefore they have to keep resending data.
Well, does he do dial-up, or are you on one of the...
I'm on Frontier broadband.
So he's not even using the modem.
Oh, so you're not using the modem.
Well, no, but he's using a telephone line with DSL on it. Do you have the filter installed on the line you're plugging in? Right. But it still could be the wiring in the house going to a new phone line.
I would suggest that you get the folks at Frontier to check that particular phone line. If it works upstairs and doesn't work downstairs, it really is the phone line, and that needs to be checked by the folks at Frontier. They'll be happy to do that for you, and I'm sure that that'll clear it up. But if everything else works fine, then
but
that's
he
the
might
only
have
difference.
Stuff though on his machine though that needs to be checked out. I'd say first dance a tango, because if something's locking it up,
it's always a good idea to do that.
Because if something's hanging it up that he's not, able to
shut
it down.
We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob. I'm out of here for 2 weeks. Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. Rob is going away. We're going to miss him. But the able and insanely great Dan Cole will be in his place. But then we'll have Rob back. I'm Nick Francesco at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.